from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
It is Jaguars Victory Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco, your calls in the second hour tonight. After the Jags roll over the Titans 38-17 in Week 16, we'll recap that game coming up. The Jags snap a 9-game losing skid and prove to 3-12 in the season. Who was that masked quarterback on Saturday? We'll get through Blake Bortles' day and the defensive effort against a top-10 offense, at least what was a top-10 offense in Tennessee. We'll look around the National Football League as well this evening. Guys, what's up, Tony? How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Great. Merry Christmas, boy.
Merry Christmas.
Pete Prisco, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. No crosstalk today because the other lazy guys aren't working today, huh?
Yeah, why is it? I mean, when in radio during like the high this time of major football games, important football games, does all of sports radio take the week off?
It's unbelievable. And Tony, can you imagine, just for the sake of the argument, let's just say the Jaguars were in deep into a playoff push right here and they took the day off.
No, I'm on.
Got to get Frangie crap for that, right?
Well, it's not just the local. I mean, even the national stuff, you have all the substitutes in. I mean, everybody takes
best of shows are coming on, all that stuff.
I mean, I get taking vacation. No one likes vacation as much as I do, but you would think like at the pinnacle of American sports, which is the NFL and college football, and the most important time of the year that people would work.
And Tony, I walked in here to my building today, and this is no lie, there's probably 15 people here working today. Because CBS has a policy where everybody shuts down after Christmas for a week. Of course, never applies to me or anybody else that's doing football.
Why is that? Why does everyone quit working this time of year?
I don't know. Are you working your job other than football this week?
Yeah, I went to the office today, yeah.
You did?
Just for a part of the day, not the full day. But then I came up here, watched film. I mean, I've been working today.
It's like a normal
Me
Monday.
Too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I mean, I took a little bit of time off, ate lunch with the family and stuff like that, but I mean, it's not that much different.
I took a half a day or about three quarters of a day yesterday, went and had nice Christmas dinner with my dad and my brothers, which I don't get to do because I'm down here and they live down here and hadn't been around them. My dad, Tony, you'll appreciate this. My dad's 81 years old, and he was insistent that he wanted to make lasagna and meatballs and everything, and he did. And you know what?
It was good.
It was as good as it ever was.
I must have missed my invitation.
Lost in the mail, I guess, over here.
Yeah, but Dr. DSPSSSO says you can't have that anymore, though. So,
That's just Tony, not me. I'm not on that crap.
I might have got off my regimen a little bit during the holidays, Pete, and put a couple pounds on.
Yeah, I got to get back on my regimen, period.
What regimen is that? Because I haven't seen a regimen since you got sick.
Fatball season.
What are you going to get?
Fatball season is in full force.
What are you going to get? Another disease so you can lose weight again?
Jeez.
Nice,
Tony.
Guy.
Wow. There's your Christmas cheer.
Oh, my God. That might have been the worst thing anybody's ever said on that program. What?
That's a shocker. Holy smokes.
What? That's how he lost weight last time. He got sick for a couple weeks.
You are a cold, cruel man, Baselli.
Well, I mean, nothing else has worked for you the last couple of years. So.
Don't make me dive at one of those bad hips. Right? Right, JP?
Bend the metal, you have to get a third replacement.
JP was asking
Don't make me take a shot at one of those two bad hips that you have.
JP was asking me earlier if he could get what Pete got so he could lose some
weight.
No,
I was not. That is
no,
unbelievable.
Believe me, you don't want that.
No, I don't think so.
So,
wow.
So how much weight did you put on, Tony? Because we're going to have to get Dr. DSPSSSO on the phone.
Oh, just a few pounds, not much.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. I mean, I worked out in the morning yesterday, but then, you know, my dad shoves lasagna and cannolis in my face. I'm not going to say no.
Right? I'll be honest with you, Pete. I wouldn't have said no either.
No.
No. I was the same way.
All.
We had steaks and breakfast every day and cookies at the house. Dad's in town. We're going out to eat. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I stuffed my face with the Christmas cheer for about a week. Ooh.
That'll do it for you.
It was so good, though. It was worth it.
Especially after a Jaguars win on Christmas Eve over the Tennessee
Titans. Who was
Titans.
That team?
Yeah,
who
right?
was that team yesterday?
The question was asked during the broadcast by both Jeff and I think Jeff asked it first. Where was that all year, especially from number five? Because I just watched the tape again. And
I watched the tape today, Tony, because it was out early today.
Holy cow. I mean, he had one bad decision where he tried to underhand it to Chris Ivory, it was just a bad decision. But other than that, it was big time. It was great football. He plays like that. He plays like that all year, Pete. They have 8 or 9 wins, probably playing for the division title this Sunday.
The best throw he made, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I thought it was the
Brian
best
Walters.
Throw he made. Yes.
Yeah, the out, wow. the deep out where he has pressure, gets hit in the chest. He throws a perfect pass right on the money.
Waits and throws it when it hasn't even cleared and wasn't even breaking open yet and threw it and stood there and read the safety and held the safety. That might have been the best play he's made all season.
That's
not exaggerating.
It's the best game he's had in his career.
That to me, Tony, you know, like all the deep balls down the sideline, I don't get excited about them. They don't do it. But when I see a quarterback stand in there, stare down the gun barrel, guy going to blast him, he's already looked off the safety, throws the ball, anticipating the guy coming open, and makes the throw accurately and on time, that's quarterbacking right there. That's
Pete,
what
it was
that
his
was,
best game
play.
Of his career. It's the first time he's ever thrown over 300 yards and got a win. None of it was in garbage time. There was none of it. It was all within the course of the game of what they were – giving him and what he took, he played outstanding. I have no other way to describe it. It was good football, good quarterbacking, the type of stuff we expected all year from Blake, and we have not seen until week 15.
The question will be, and we'll get into this, why now? Why this week? Why was it this week?
No idea. I don't have an answer. I know some people say, well, maybe firing the coach made him play better.
No.
I mean,
no.
It's still the same offense.
If that's it, that's a problem. You can't fire a coach every week. I don't know why.
He looked comfortable. He looked sure of himself. The throw, and I sent out a picture on Twitter today of his motion.
I saw that.
It was much, much, much more compact. That was the shot he took to Robinson for 16 yards in the middle of the field. He got the ball, boom, the ball didn't come down low. It was up by his head, bang, ball out. And he hit him in stride. I mean, to me, there were so many differences in this game than the guy you've seen for the entire season. I mean, so many. Confidence, motion, reading the field. Accuracy, all of it. That was a different guy on Sunday. And it wasn't, you know, I know people get all, when balls go down the sideline, they still throw too many fades. You know, that's an easy way out. And it's almost like he's got to get past that because you can't get those all the time. But it was by far I agree with you, Tony. It might have been his best game of his career.
And it was right out of the gate, too. I mean, he opened out that opening drive right down the field, get a touchdown. They never trailed in the game. And I think that's a first, too, if I'm thinking about it. I don't know if they've ever had a lead that big, double-digit lead like that.
If I'm not mistaken, in London, didn't they lead the entire game against Indy?
Yeah, but maybe not like a 10-0 right out of the gate situation. Either way,
well, no,
it was
obviously
nice to see.
Not, because that was the only second time of the year that they scored points on the opening drive.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, there's all this theory out there that, you know, the new coach might not like him and and, you know, based on a lot of the stuff you saw this year, I can understand that. But that game has to give them a little bit of hope about him moving forward, that maybe he can get salvaged.
Well, does it worry you, Pete, that – does it give you false hope?
Well, that's what I mean. You got to dissect. Well, see, you know, look, you go on the road against the Colts. They're not great on defense. Let's see what he can do this week. I mean, you know, you got to follow it up. That's what quarterbacks do. They follow it up with games. It can't just be one flash and then, you know, go back to being that, you know, the crappy quarterback they've seen for most of the year. You got to go back to do it again and show it again. And if he does it again, then hey, who knows?
I'll tell you this, if any type of performance like we saw this week is next week coming up against Indy, makes me feel a lot better going into the offseason. I still bring in somebody.
Absolutely.
To compete.
Absolutely.
But it makes me feel a lot better, Pete. I'll tell you that. Maybe that's wrong, but it makes me feel better.
Do you agree with me, though, like the throwing up passes and the guys go make plays? I mean, that's not.
Yeah, but every quarterback does that, Pete.
I know. But for him, we've seen that before. To me, that throw to Walters, you haven't seen a lot of that. That's why, to me, that was so much different, the way he handled himself in that situation.
Yeah, but even the ones down the field, down the sideline, they were thrown in areas where his guy could make a play. And that is different. We hadn't seen that all the time. They were thrown in areas.
Yeah, like on the bootleg.
The right place. They were thrown in the right area where his guys could go make plays. And that's what the NFL is about as well. You're going to look at one-on-one matchups, and if you have a favorable matchup, the corners for Tennessee aren't very good. He felt like he had some opportunities in one-on-one matchup with A-Rob, and he took advantage of it. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. But I do agree the throw to Brian Walters, which we're showing on Jaguars.com right now, was big time. That was the best throw of the day.
Yeah, took a shot.
I thought the throw on the bootleg.
Like,
yeah, I thought the throw on the boot to Robinson was pretty good.
Oh, great throw. Going to his left, throws just a strike in the soft spot of the zone, finds A-Rob. I agree, Pete.
Guys, let's take our time out. We'll come back and figure out how the guys around him helped Blake Bortles yesterday. Allen Robinson had a monster day for the Jags. Marquise Lee as well. PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Unbelievable throw by Marquise. It's kind of funny. We actually called that play like 5 times and never got the look. And then finally that one down there, we ended up getting the look to run it, you know. And Marquise did an unbelievable job. He was fired up. You know, his eyes got all big in the huddle when I called it. So it was cool, you know, for him. I know that's the first – I think it's the first pass he's ever thrown. It's the first one I've ever caught. So it was cool. It was cool to have that, you know, at the end of the game.
There you have it, Blake Bortles discussing the touchdown reception pass from Marquise Lee. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Happy Boxing Day, by the way, to our friends over in the U.K. and in the Commonwealth today. And Merry Christmas.
What is Boxing Day?
It is a holiday around the former heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis.
It's not.
No?
I think it's when you return your after Christmas, you return stuff or you box stuff up.
I don't think that's right either.
No?
No. Pete, you try it.
I have no earthly idea.
It is, from what I understand, it is for like the servants and messengers and way back in the day.
I thought it was like something you put Baselli's football knowledge in a box and it's about the size of a ring box or something.
That's a good guess, Pete.
No? I'm reading right here.
So they used to give the servants a Christmas box the day after Christmas because they all had to work Christmas. So their gift was on Boxing Day, right? Well, we're guessing. We'll get to that.
So it's kind of demeaning then.
Well, they get a day.
Here it is. It's the first weekday after Christmas Day, observed as a holiday in which postmen, errand boys, and servants of various kinds expect to receive a Christmas box.
Got it. So it's not Lennox Lewis?
No.
Oh. There you have it. You're learning things today, Pete, here on Jaguars Monday. We heard about Marquise Lee there, and we've learned a lot about Marquise Lee this season. But yesterday, you know, made the nice catch early for the touchdown and found his way into the end zone there. Nearly scored on another play in the game as well. And then threw the touchdown pass in a key situation there. Him and then Allen Robinson. What a big day for A-Rob yesterday. They moved him all over the field, according to Doug Marrone today. A little different feel, right? I mean, I don't remember them moving A-Rob around like they did or claimed to yesterday.
I guess my question would be to Doug Marrone and Nathaniel Hackett, if that's new, why did we wait 14 or 15 weeks to do it?
Well, I thought they used more bunch formations where he was inside with the other receivers than they ever have.
And that might have been what he meant.
It was great. It was a very good game plan, very effective. I mean, they basically for half the game they're playing with their fourth running back after the injury to T.J. Yeldon. Denard Robinson's already out, and then the injury to Chris Ivory, so you have Corey Grant back there for almost the entire second half. And I guess – so I like the game plan. I like how they attacked. I liked how they were aggressive. Obviously, we've talked about Blake, how well he played. My only question would be why – if that's the case, which I mean, Doug said it was, why the delay in helping A-Rob get free? If he – you know, if they thought that was something he was struggling, maybe in one spot, attracted more of the coverages, I wonder why they didn't move him around earlier.
I mean, I would have. I like when they bunch up. I think more teams need to – there's a lot of teams that do that. There's some teams like Green Bay, for one, they get Rodgers, so they compensate for it. But when they were having problems, you got to bunch up and pick and rub and get free releases and don't allow them, the guys, to get their hands on them. And to me, that – you know, you can't – you know that, Tony. When you run bunch formations, you can't – it's harder to get your hands on a guy.
Yeah, bunch formations, you know what I mean? Moving guys in motion, put them in the slot off the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, all those things will help free a guy up.
I mean, because if you look back on the year, the one thing that Robinson has not handled is getting jammed and beat up at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
He should be doing the beating. He's a big, big receiver.
We've talked about that being a little bit of an issue this year for him, of getting off press coverage. Now, part of it is, too, let's not forget, and I don't want to be a, you know, rain on the parade, but the –
But
they're without their number one corner, Jason McCourty, and even with Jason McCourty, this is not a good secondary and not good corners at all.
We talked a lot about the front seven being very strong
and
against the
good.
Run and the pass rush and all that, but the back end had a lot of guys moving in and out.
And give the offensive line credit up front. They did a good job. I thought they had a good game. They protected, for the most part, very well. They gave Blake plenty of time. They ran the ball effectively, especially when Chris Ivory was in there. So the front, I thought Ben Koyak played an outstanding game. And I'm excited.
I thought AJ Cann had one of his best games in a couple months.
Cann and Parnell both played very well, but Ben Koyak, I thought was really on the outside zone. Did a good job at the point of attack, and that's also a really nice positive going into next year. But I mean, so I'm. It's not like the Colts are a great defense either, but they did have Vontae Davis. They have a couple guys back there. And so I'm looking forward to seeing if we can carry this over week in, you know, from one week to the next. But that secondary for Tennessee and those corners are awful.
Tony, Luke Bawenko had a great block on the goal line where he got on the touchdown run. He got one, and then he came off, and then he got the linebacker on the second.
Yeah, he doubled Alex Ellis on the defensive end and came up to the next level, linebacker level, made the key block to get Chris Ivory in there. And he's someone I'd like to see maybe start at left guard this week. And nothing against Tyler Shatley. I thought Tyler had the toughest matchup of the day against Jarrell Casey. And for the most part,
and he battled early on.
He battled. It wasn't always pretty.
He got worse.
It wasn't always
pretty.
He got
worse as the game went on.
It wasn't pretty always. But I mean, Shatley held his own and did a nice job. And so I'm not saying I want to see Bawenko for anything Shatley did wrong. I just want to see Bawenko. I like Bawenko. I've always had. He's long. He's big. I think he needs to get a little stronger, but I'd like to see him get some reps at left guard this week.
Yeah, he looked thin to me.
Well, he is a little bit on the slender side. He's long.
Yeah, but he even looked more slender than he normally looked to me. I don't know.
Well, he had a hip issue, right? That's what kept him out for so long.
Yeah, so he probably had some weight. He probably
couldn't
lift weights the way he'd want to, but I tell you what, he got on the double and then came off and looked athletic as hell getting onto the second level on that play. That's for sure.
Yeah, so I'd like to see him. Get some action.
Yeah, I thought, Tony, when you know, watching the tape with Shatley, I thought he battled and he fought. And he's like a little he's like a Tom Myslinski kind of player. He'll fight you, he'll battle you, but he's limited. So in the end, as the game wore on, you could see he was getting beat more and more.
Well, now, Jarrell Casey is one of the best three techniques in football, too. Let's not forget that.
But then he get beat on the sack by one of the other guys, too. He just went right around them
No, that was Jarrell Casey.
Was it Casey? I thought it was somebody else. No. I thought it was – But,
no, the only sack was a linebacker, too. That wasn't – the sack early was a linebacker. Chris Ivory missed him. It came by Shatley, but that
he
was
totally,
not
– He totally whiffed.
That wasn't Shatley's guy. So I thought Tyler put fine. It's a tough matchup against Jarrell Casey. He's a dang good player. Really good player. But up front, I thought overall they did well. And I think they would have run the ball even for more yards if Ivory doesn't get hurt. Ivory does concern me a little bit. way too many fumbles this year. Way too many fumbles.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Why? Was he really known for that before? I don't think he was.
I don't know. But this year he's known for it. Bad ball security.
I'll be honest with you, though, Tony. Watching the tape, I thought there were even more opportunities for him where he missed a couple holes. Ivory.
I didn't think he missed very many big holes, but I did think he missed a couple where there were no gains or a loss or two or three that if he just plants his foot, he gets, you know, 2 to 4, maybe 5.
Instead of bouncing.
Right.
Instead of bouncing.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Which is weird for him because you don't see him as a bouncer most of the time.
No, typically he's not, but whatever reason it did yesterday, that doesn't concern me as much as the fumbles.
Marquise Lee is a damn good – you know, everybody talking about the touchdown. I thought the catch in the middle of the field was fantastic.
Oh, reaching out, catching the end of the ball. Tough catch on the run. Secured it and still tried to make something happen afterwards. He's a really good player.
On one of the plays where the ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage, I think, they had him on an inside route where he just destroyed the defensive back too. And the ball was tipped, I think, at the line of scrimmage. It would have been a big play too.
So it was good. I really liked the game plan. I like how they used the screen game. They called some screens on first and second down, not just, you know, the give up screen on third, which does nothing typically, but some first down screens, very, very effective, some big plays. And so I take my hat off to the entire staff. And we haven't even talked about the defense yet, but offensively, take my hat off to them. Tough week for everybody, you know, letting Gus go. You have all those distractions. You got a short week on top of that, so you still got to get ready for the game against an opponent coming in here that if they win out, they're in the playoffs. And so they're playing for everything.
Yeah, they look lifeless, didn't they?
They did not come out with a lot of energy.
Nope.
Yeah, that's not a good look for Mike Mularkey. They look lifeless to me. I mean, just watching it, they were just very blasé about the whole thing. It's almost like they expected to walk out on the field and walk away with a victory without even putting anything into it. It wasn't good for Tennessee. That's not a good look for Tennessee, because Jacksonville, as well as they played, they're not better than them, and they're not that much better than them, even if they are better than them. So I don't know. I thought that was a bad look for Tennessee, but you got to give Jacksonville credit. Like you said, they changed some things up. I think they caught Tennessee off guard with those bunch formations and stuff that they did.
Well, how much of was it Tennessee coming off an emotional win on the road against Kansas City? You know,
yeah, but everything's hanging in front of your face.
I know it should not be an excuse.
Yeah, go win.
How are you not ready for that game when you have two?
They weren't ready for the Jaguars buzzsaw. That's what it was.
Well, I think what it tells you is the I mean, not that you want this moniker, but a dangerous 2-12 team. I mean, I don't think anyone thought that the Jaguars were a 2-12 ball club as far as watching them play. And now that's you are what your record says you are, but I think, you know, this isn't the Cleveland Browns or the 49ers or even the Rams. You know, they had lost so many one possession games in the fourth quarter where they had the ball to take a lead and just couldn't get it done.
Not blowout
losses.
Well,
I mean, just looking back at the schedule, the Packers are a postseason team. Mm. They could have won that game. The
Ravens you had
Chiefs
beat.
Who?
The Ravens.
Ravens, week three.
Yeah, but they're not a playoff team.
Yeah,
so
we should have beat them.
The Raiders got away from them late, remember?
Yep.
The Chiefs, they could have won that game at Kansas City.
Should have won it.
Yep.
Right. The Lions, they were in that
game. Should have won that game.
Houston.
Should have won that
last
game.
Last week.
Both games,
right?
In fact.
Yeah, both games you should have won. Played off.
Right, I mean, so that's. Yeah, so, I mean, but you can play that anywhere. It's
no,
just,
I know, but these are close games.
Right. If the quarterback plays, like you said, like if the quarterback plays like he did
yesterday,
Sunday,
or
the
Saturday,
the rest of the season, they win 4 or 5 more games.
Yeah,
period.
The Detroit game.
It's all about the quarterback in this league. You know that.
Had the lead in the fourth quarter. They rallied like they had all year. Detroit did to win.
If the quarterback played like this from week one, you have 9 wins. Playing for the division title this week.
And Sports Talk Radio's on all week and not off.
No, they probably still take it off.
They might take it off. Hey, let's come back and get into the defense. Jalen Ramsey continues his spectacular play. We'll break down the rookie cornerback when we return. Your calls in the second hour tonight. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's amazing. It's been a long time coming, a really long time. Me personally, I haven't had a win here at this stadium in my NFL career yet until today, so it feels really good. Looking forward to coming day before Christmas. Now we can really enjoy our holidays with our families and get ready for next week.
Rookie cornerback Jalen Ramsey in the locker room Saturday after the Jaguars win over the Tennessee Titans. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Baselli and Pete Prisco. Four tackles, four passes defensed, one interception returned for a touchdown, 30 yards.
Should have had another interception.
Yes, he should
have.
Would
have been called back anyways for roughing the pass.
Either way. And
maybe two more. He had another one he almost picked on, another breakup on the ball. Mariota threw back across his body in the middle of the field.
He will be the best quarterback in the National Football League in 2 years.
And PFF will probably still give him a negative grade today.
I'll tell you when we get there.
We'll get to that coming up. This is on the heels, though, of a game last week where he had four tackles, a pick, five passes defensed. I mean, the Jaguars as a team had 25 passes defensed for the whole season combined before last week. This is an unbelievable run right here. It really is.
And plays with the confidence. And I mean, that the pick six, you could just see him seeing it the whole way. And then he put his feet in the ground, planted, broke on the ball, and it was gone. I mean, the kid will be a star. I mean, Jacksonville has lacked the star of stars for a long time. You know, they haven't had that guy, right? When you think about it, who was the last star of stars, Tony?
Freddie T, probably.
Or Maurice, maybe?
Right.
Was Maurice that big?
Yeah, Maurice was pretty big.
Yeah, Maurice. Yeah. Maurice probably. But that's, you know, again, this kid has a chance to be the star of stars. And if I were him, my advice to him would be to embrace it all and become the East Coast version of Richard Sherman. You become that guy. You know, become – anybody wants to talk to you, you talk to him. You play with confidence and brash and everything else. I mean, that's what he – because he's that guy. He has a chance to be their next truly, truly special football player because that's how good he is.
Yeah, I was going to say he's that good. He can be brash and talk to everyone because he has the ability to back it up. There's a lot of guys
who like to
talk.
Too.
There's a lot of guys who like to talk, but don't have the play to back it up. And he is a very physical player, as Pete just said. He is a good tackler, not just a willing tackler. He's a good tackler.
The one of him making the hit, knocking
the ball.
I'm going to give him
a little bit of a criticism here, okay, and see if you agree with me, Tony. On the play when Mariota, I think we just showed it, when Mariota threw it across his body,
he should have picked it,
and he batted the ball down.
Yeah, he should have picked it.
He got a little loafy on that play at midway through it.
Well, I think he was baiting him. I watched it. I think he baited him.
I don't know.
All I know is he should have caught it.
Yeah, but Mariota wasn't even looking that way.
And then
he
should have caught that one as well. We showed another one. If I'm going to be critical, if it's not anything else but him catching the dang ball, which he did on the pick six. He's a heck of a player.
But he's the star of stars on that. He will be the next big-time star in Jacksonville.
Well, he's the best player on the team. Right now, he is the best football player on this team.
The one we just showed on Jaguars.com is my favorite. Well, the guy has the catch. He comes and makes contact and knocks it out. Just the tackle. It's unbelievable.
Well, he hits so hard.
Yes.
He could play all four. He could play any position in the secondary. Play free safety. He could play strong safety if he had to. Play either corner, obviously. Play nickel. You can play them all. He's that talented.
We ask you, Pete, is he the defensive rookie of the year, or is Joey Bosa got
him
in the
Joey bag? Joey Bosa is probably defensive rookie of the year, but you know what? In the last couple of weeks, he's made it interesting, that's for sure. I think he's second. I mean, that's how good he's been. The guy's everything you want in a corner. He's long, can run, hits, ball skills.
So you think Bosa's talented. Had a better year than him?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But it's close, Tony. I mean, I don't know if you watched.
I haven't watched him, so it's not. I'm not. Oh, that's why I'm not commenting. I haven't watched.
I mean,
him.
He's everything and anything that they thought he was going to be. He's good.
And he missed four really games good. Too, the start of the year.
But you know, I get a lot of criticism from Cowboys fans these days because they keep killing me for giving the Ezekiel Elliott pick a D when I graded it, and when I graded that pick, I didn't grade the player. I graded the position. And the reason I graded the position was I think there was greater value in Jalen Ramsey. And 7 years, 6 years, 7 years down the road, everybody's going to look back on that and say, you know what? Jalen Ramsey's still one of the top you know, corners, if not the top corner in the league. And Ezekiel Elliott, as a running back, will be nearing the end of his career. And so that's why I give a grade like that. Not I thought they should have taken Ramsey. Me, if I was Dallas. Now, it's worked out for him so far. If they win a Super Bowl, I'm an idiot, okay?
But no, if you're an idiot no matter what, but yeah.
No, I'm not. Who would you have taken, Tony?
I would have taken Jalen Ramsey.
Of course.
No, but I'm saying you're an idiot regardless of what you think about Ezekiel Elliott.
Coming from you, that's like almost like I can't believe you would – after you just killed me, like, early in the show, you had me dead. I
mean, it's unbelievable.
But based where they are, Pete, the Cowboys, I mean, I understand why they took
it. It's hard to argue it now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to argue. I mean, he's a heck of a player. So, if you're the Jaguars.
Hold on. If they didn't have the offensive line set up, would they have taken Ramsey?
The only reason I can argue against Pete that even back then I would have taken Ezekiel Elliott because they were set up from an offense to get a back who would make them who they are. And especially because we all thought Tony Romo was going to be the quarterback.
But they also didn't think they were set up at corner either. Remember, and their corners have played better than they expected.
They have, but the way they want to play, and I think they tried to do it last year, and they did it 2 years ago, is running the ball. I mean, DeMarc Murray, listen, and this is where I give Jerry Jones credit. Their success 2 years ago was not because of Tony Romo. It was because of the run game of that offensive line, DeMarc Murray. Now, Tony Romo is a very good player. I'm not taking anything away from him. And I think they felt like, listen, we get a back of the caliber of Ezekiel Elliott with this offensive line, we can control games. And they have. So give Jerry Jones credit. So I don't think I would not have given him a D for that pick like Pete did.
Well, then grade it.
I'd probably give it a B. I think he's Ezekiel Elliott was the best back in the by far. And he's a dominant player. And the way they were set up, I was okay with the pick. Would I have probably taken Jalen Ramsey?
But running backs don't decide titles anymore, though. That's why I gave it.
It might this year, Pete.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I think if they win it all.
You don't think the Packers are going to win it all? I mean, win the NFC?
Well, I'm picking. I don't know who's going to win. I actually think the NFC is going to be fabulous football because it's a coin flip on a bunch of games. I do like how the Packers are playing right now, and if I had to bet everything, I'd probably put it on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers because they're playing like they did a couple years ago. With that said, it won't shock me at all if the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl. And if they go and win a Super Bowl.
Right, then I'm wrong. Then I'll sit back and say that was a terrible, terrible grade.
So,
but if they don't win a Super Bowl, and 5 years from now he's breaking down as a running back, I'll pull that grade back up and say, you know what?
And that's fine, Pete.
I was right.
Now, not every back is done at age 30. He might be one of the rare guys, an Emmitt Smith, heck, a Fred Taylor. There's very few guys. Barry Sanders would have done it if he didn't just hang him up after 10 years. But he might be one of those backs. Marcus Allen.
But Tony,
I mean, there's guys who have done it through this career.
When was the last one, though, after 30? I mean, the game has changed now. Adrian Peterson might be the last of the Mohicans. I mean, he's one of those last guys who's going to spend his career with one team and then be a great player. That's it.
Well, it's always been a rarity, but Ezekiel Elliott might be that guy. He's a special back. You can take. I mean, there's nothing.
Oh, he's great.
He's special.
Great,
I've watched him on tape. He makes a good line even better.
Yeah, he's not taking clean hits or anything.
Oh, he's a fabulous player. So it'll be interesting, Pete. Let's say, and I haven't done any homework on it, but I've talked to some scouts, and they say Leonard Fournette is better than Ezekiel Elliott. That's what the scouts say. I'm not making that comment. Let's say he is.
I'll be honest with you. I prefer the runner from Florida State.
So, I mean, let's just say Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook are better than Ezekiel Elliott when you grade them all out. I'm not saying they are.
But right. Would I take him in the top?
Would you take him in the top 10?
Nope.
Well, that's.
I can offer you Exhibit A, Todd Gurley, if you want to.
I was going to say, would you have taken Gurley?
Didn't he go like, what did he go, ninth, tenth?
I think it was 15? Earlier than that.
It was earlier than that.
It was top 10.
Yeah,
it was top 10.
Yeah.
But I would not have taken Gurley that high because he's coming off a knee. Different.
But then he was good last year, and now he's not good this year. So,
well, the Rams are
atrocious
blame
the knee.
All around.
Yeah, they are. But again, running backs to me don't. It's a passing, rushing, covering game, and blocking. I mean, that's what it is. And so it's not the runner. If I go back to this. If Alfred Morris was the running back in Dallas, he wouldn't have what Ezekiel Elliott has.
And they wouldn't probably they wouldn't be 12-2.
He'd probably have about 400 more yards, 400 fewer yards.
They wouldn't be 12-2, Pete.
What would they be?
10-6.
Would you rather have
–
if you're the Dallas Cowboys, let me ask you this. Would you rather have Zeke Elliott and Vaughn – I mean, Zeke Elliott and whatever pass rusher they have out there right now, or Alfred Morris and Vaughn Miller?
No. I always – the pass rushers – game changer.
Of course. That's all I'm saying. That's why I gave that grade. Because A, they're not great at pass rushing. B, they weren't going into the season. Their corners played better than they have than expected.
But what pass rusher was there? I mean, Bosa was already gone.
Right.
No, I'm not saying if I had a choice between the Miles kid out of Miles Garrett, is that his name from Texas A&M, or Leonard Fournette, I'm taking Miles Garrett.
Because I've seen mock drafts where Jacksonville takes a running back at number 3 or 4, whatever they pick, and that would be foolish.
Let's come back and continue this conversation and maybe get into the head coaching search for the Jags. We haven't touched that tonight either.
Another Tony hour hates left. That.
Absolutely. That's why we're going to get into the Irritate Baselli half hour maybe a little early tonight, Pete. Give him some Christmas cheer this evening. Your call's coming up in the second hour, 355-NFL-1, the number. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
To be able to hear the crowd, see a smile on their face, you know, maybe when tomorrow morning with the holidays coming up, maybe, hey, you know what, they feel a little bit better than they've been feeling. I think that's important. I think as far as, and I take that same approach for our players, for our assistant coaches, for, you know, our organization as a whole has been through a lot. I think people, you know, miss that. You know, there are people in this building that work extremely hard that really don't control the outcome of the game, but they're in it 110% with us. But I really think about those people that have gone through this, very difficult season, very difficult situation.
Doug Marrone, postgame Saturday. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. On 1010XL, Jaguars.com, and the Jaguars app. Glad you're with us tonight. So we're discussing some draft philosophy, I guess, on running backs. We'll get to Doug Marrone as well. Is he coaching his way up the list, Pete, or is he not even going to be a candidate?
No, not going to be a candidate.
No matter what if they blow out Indy?
I disagree with that. I think he's
what
a candidate.
What do you disagree with?
I think he's a candidate.
Than I am.
No, I think he's probably a little more qualified than you, Pete.
Well, I don't know.
I do.
Tony, he's not going to get. He's not going to.
I'm not saying he's going to get the job, but he's a candidate. And
like
I think
what?
He'd be a good. I think
on the list of 30, he's 30.
No. I do not believe that. And I think Doug Marrone would be a good coach and would do a good job.
You'd hire him then.
He would be someone I'd consider.
I gotta blow the whole thing up. I gotta start over.
The whole thing.
Well, I mean the coaching staff.
The defense is in the top five.
Yeah, I disagree. I think Todd Walsh has done an outstanding job.
But you can't sit there and say, okay, they're in the top five. New coach comes in, he's gonna keep Todd Walsh. Guy comes in, he's gonna build his own staff. He wants his own guys.
Well, now head coaches do come in sometimes and keep coordinators.
And that's always to me dangerous because you have cliques of the coaching staff. My guys from leftover, your guys from new regime. It's a problem to me.
So I do think Doug's a candidate, and I would give him a serious look and a serious interview.
I'd interview him.
I'd have an open mind, and I'd sit down with him and look at the entire thing.
Yeah, but Tony, you're the same guy 3 weeks ago that was saying keep the whole staff. So, I mean, you got to take that for what it's worth.
Okay. So that's my opinion. I would interview Doug Marrone, and he'd be a viable candidate.
I would interview him.
No,
I'm
you
not
just
say
said
I
you just said there's no chance, no way. And
right,
he's
but
not,
I'd still
and,
interview
no,
him.
The quote was, "He's not a candidate." If he's not a candidate, then don't interview him. Why? He's not a candidate, Pete. Make up your mind.
They interview a lot of people around
you don't,
the league.
You don't get to have it both ways.
Yeah, why waste the time if he's not
if
on
he's
your
not
list?
A candidate, don't hire him. Don't interview
I'll
him.
I'd pick his brain, find out what's going on, because I'd use it to my advantage somehow, some way.
Okay. You're just a genius.
You don't think owners and teams do that all the time, Tony?
I mean, think about it.
Todd Walsh sat in on some interviews when they were interviewing defensive coordinators. You don't think they picked the brain of some of those coordinators when they came in?
Oh, sure, it happens.
Good point. Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen, Pete. I'm just – you and I disagree. I think he is a real candidate, and I'd give it a serious look. I'd interview – he fits my criteria of what a coach needs to have. Like I said last week, the next guy, if I was in charge of the hiring process, the next guy – for this team, which I think where this organization is at currently, needs to be a former head coach, needs to have head coaching experience.
So you would flat out eliminate Josh McDaniels and
Josh McDaniels. Kyle
Shanahan.
Shanahan. Yes. Well, I'd say, if we hire him, I'll be fine. That's fine, and he might be doing a great job. He's obviously an outstanding coach.
I mean, there's 17 teams in the history of the league that have scored 500 points, and one of them is his team this year.
Absolutely.
His offense.
Pete, he's an outstanding offensive coordinator. I don't doubt that. I'm just saying, in my opinion, where this team is right now in the organization, I want someone who's done it before. It's a young team. I'm not saying Kyle Shanahan won't be a great head coach. And if we hire him here, there'll be no bigger fan rooting for him.
We know that.
Hoping that he's the best ever. I'm just saying, if I was making the decision, which I'm not, one of the things I would want is a guy with former head coaching experience.
But next week's game has no, at least in your mind, has no bearing whatsoever on whether Marone is a candidate or not, whether he wins it or loses it, nor should it.
No, I'll say this.
You think he should be a candidate no matter what?
Yes, I think he's a candidate no matter what. If they go,
but if
in,
he wins, does it strengthen his candidacy?
If they go in and blow out the Colts and play just great, inspired football, it'll be like, it might be a little extra notch. Just like if they go and get blown out and play flat with no life, it would be like, that's not good. It'd be a negative notch. But it's not going to determine one way or another whether I'm going to interview him or whether I feel like he's a candidate.
I would interview him. I probably wouldn't hire him. But, I mean, that's just me. I think if they were going to hire him, like I said last week, if Doug Marone was going to be a serious candidate for the job, they would have fired Gus it's 8 weeks ago. Because then you would have given him a chance to take over the team, see what he can do. If he does well, you're almost boxed into a corner and you have to hire him.
If he doesn't, you move on.
Right. So that's
who would be your number one candidate, Pete?
I would probably Smitty.
Mike Smith, huh?
I mean, of everyone out there, he'd be number one.
Oh, well, I mean, can I go sniffing around Nick Saban?
I just said
anybody out there.
Okay, I'm shooting for the moon?
Yes.
I'm going after Nick Saban.
Okay. So let's break it down this way. Number one college coach would be Nick Saban. Number one NFL coach would be Mike Smith.
Well, am I prying away Bill Belichick? Because he'd be my number one coach in the NFL.
No, not with guys with current jobs, Pete. You don't get to do that.
Okay.
I mean, Sean Payton's out there, but you have to give up two first-rounders. You're going to give up two first-rounders for Sean Payton?
No way. Absolutely not.
All right.
Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's.
Mike Smith would be your number one guy, realistic guy.
Yeah, and depending on who his coordinator would be. I mean, that would be important to me, too, is who his offensive coordinator would be.
Hey, what's your opinion on a coach-in-waiting scenario? If Tom Coughlin were to be maybe the guy, and then you have a guy a couple of years down the road that's guaranteed the gig.
No.
Nope.
My number one choice, by the way, would be Tom Coughlin.
Well,
I'm surprised he wasn't on your list, Pete.
Well, no, he's on the list. It's just I'm concerned about the age.
Why give him an interview then? In your mindset, if he's not a real candidate, why interview him?
Because I'm picking that brain for sure.
That would be my number one. That would be my number one choice.
He's the best coach, Tony. Don't get me wrong. If you're going to hire a coach strictly on who he is as a coach and what he's done and all that, yes. But you don't think the age is a factor?
I just said, Pete, he'd be my number one guy. If I was in charge, I would call him right now and say, do you want the job?
For a year or –
I think he coaches 4 years.
Yeah, but do you want to do this again in 3 years?
No, but listen, if everything's if he does a great job, and what I think he'll do, the organization will be in a great position 3 or 4 years from now. And trust me, if he's winning, he's not leaving.
Good point.
And Tom is a young 70. He has energy. Here's a guy who doesn't need money or anything else, and he's still working and still goes into the city 4 days a week to go work.
What about in the advisory role?
No, I'm either hiring him as the head coach or I'm not hiring him at all.
Okay.
All right, Pete, let's come back and begin the Irritate Vaselli half hour. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1. I'm sure some pro football focus grades are on the docket tonight.
Yes.
Yes. Can't wait to
Tony
see
might
what
actually
they...
like some of the grades this week.
Really?
Yes.
That would be a first. We'll find out when we come back. Get the latest transportation news and information with the award-winning Making Moves. Watch the first Tuesday at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Man, guys enjoyed it. You know, they had a blast. You know, unbelievably proud of that locker room and kind of handling everything that's gone on this week and really this whole season. To come out and play, you know, I think it speaks to the character of the team and the guys in that locker room. To play that kind of inspired football, it is fun to see. You know, guys flying around, having a good time, the fans into it. You know, that stuff doesn't happen a whole lot when you're 2-12. So I think to be able to see that is special.
Blake Bortles after the game Saturday. Second hour of Jaguars Monday underway. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco, your calls, 355-NFL-1, the number. And pro football focus grades from the Jaguars win over the Titans. Pete, are you ready for this?
I am ready. And Tony, like I said earlier, I think you're going to agree with a lot of grades this week. Maybe I'm wrong, but on the offense.
He's so excited, can you tell?
One, two, three, four guys in the major green.
Blake, A-Rob.
Marquise.
A-Rob for sure. No Blake, but A-Rob.
Well, Blake wasn't in the green.
Nope. He's right under. He's, 105, I mean, he's in the positive.
105 quarterback rating, 68% completion.
They gave him a minus two in rushing. I don't know what the hell that
That's
is.
That's idiotic. And, all right. I mean, okay, we're done. I have nothing
no,
to
no,
say.
No, no, no.
How is
pissed.
He not in the green?
I don't know. A-Rob, you were spot on. Go ahead. Who are the other three?
Marquise Lee.
No.
A.J. Cann, Jeremy Parnell.
Correct.
One more, huh?
I'll give
maybe
it to
Koyak.
The highest rated player on the offense is Linder.
Okay. Yeah, he played well.
The best run blocker, Parnell. Would you agree?
Yeah, I thought Jeremy played very well.
The best pass blocker, Cann.
I thought Beecham pass blocked well at the same time.
They gave Beecham a negative. Not big, but they gave Tyler Shatley an enormous negative. I thought that was a little harsh after I watched the tape.
Yeah, well, they don't watch the tape, Pete. They watch a TV copy, and they can't tell what the heck's going on.
I mean, I thought there were a couple plays where he battled Tony, and then late in the play, his guy got off of him and made a play, I thought. You know, but he was in – I don't know. They gave him a minus 5.5 in pass protection,
I don't care.
Tony.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what these grades mean. They mean nothing to me at all.
Okay, let's go to the defense. We're going to go deep. There's 6 defensive players that are in the green.
If Jalen Ramsey's not in the green, I quit.
Oh, he's in the big green. 6.4, which is one of the highest they've had. 7.7 in pass coverage. They gave him a negative 1.4 in the run game. Why?
He had one bad play in the run. He didn't come up with good leverage against DeMarco Murray. He turned it in like a 15-yard run. Other than that, I thought he was fine.
All right, so who are the other greens? Nobody's in the red. Nobody on defense, by the way, is in the red.
I would say Posluszny.
He is not in the green, just off the green.
I would say Malik Jackson.
Green.
Dante Fowler.
Green.
Ngakoue.
Green. You're missing one that I mentioned before on when I sent out a tweet before. I thought he played really well for it. Avery Jones.
Avery.
And then Cyprian was in the green.
Yeah, I was going to say Cyprian. Yeah. All right,
so
great.
Nobody in the red. So you agree, though, although because we really haven't talked about the defense. I wanted to
they
mention that
great.
About Avery Jones. I thought Avery Jones – I think they have themselves a darn good defensive tackle in Avery Jones.
Well, he really plays nose is what he plays.
Right, but
– yeah, I think their defense played great. They still don't rush the passer with four guys very well, but
– No.
But that's got, that has to be get better.
You know, you see, like, there's no move for Fowler, but he got a little pressure with Power Sunday.
Part of it because Conklin, right tackle, had some of the worst pass sets I've ever seen, and he's a good player.
Yeah, what was that yesterday? I mean, like, he decided he didn't get depth on the one. Yeah. When he tipped the ball, he got no depth.
He decided just a couple times just drop straight back into the lap of the quarterback. Heck of a job.
Yeah. but you know, and then Fowler is powerful. He's a powerful player.
He doesn't use his speed.
He needs to go work with Chuck Smith in the offseason in Atlanta. I mean, that would be – if I'm the coach of that GM coach slash ever on that team – that's one of the first things I'm doing is saying, go spend two, three months with Chuck Smith in Atlanta.
He needs to get better at rushing the passer, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. But what do you think of Miles Jack's play when he was on the – he had 24 snaps.
That's a lot.
Didn't do a lot.
No.
Good or bad.
Solid. Nothing.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, nothing.
I think it's hard to make impacts where they're playing him right now.
Did they use him more in some power situations than earlier?
Yeah, he had more snaps, but yeah. I mean, he plays. It's just that where he plays. I think it's.
What about Sheldon Day?
He had the sack. It was late coverage sack. He hustled.
It was the one that knocked Mariota out of the game.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a great move or anything.
What about Josh Johnson?
He played good at nickel.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, he did a nice job.
Here's a concern of mine that, and tell me if you agree with this. That defense that they play, in most defenses, you need a rangy middle fielder, and he hasn't played up to expectations at all.
I think he's been fine. Not great, not bad. I think he's been fine.
Hmm. I don't know.
I'll say this. You're going to have to make a decision based on who you hire as a coach and what they're going to do defensively, but if you're going to go to a two-high safety look, you can't keep Sipper in. If you're going to go to a base cover two team, Sip is not your guy.
No.
So
but
Dave,
the other thing
Dave
is
has to make,
don't get,
figure that out before making any
if
moves.
You don't get Cyprian, if you don't get Cyprian back, though, then you're going to be chasing that position again.
Well, he's not a two-eye safety.
No, I know. Don't forget Sample's still around. Not that I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy, but he's still around.
So you're going to bank on that?
No, I draft a guy. You look at this team, go through this defense, and Ngakoue's a rookie. Malik is basically football. He's a kid. Jones is a kid. Alualu is a veteran, but I would bring him back again.
Great depth, role player. Yeah. Absolutely. You're going to get him at the right price. Absolutely.
Plus, Leslie will come back for another year. Jack will be – he's a kid. Telvin Smith is basically a kid. Cyprian, you got to make a decision on. Gibson, I'm still concerned about there. Ramsey's a future star. I'd re-sign Amukamara.
I would, too.
I'd re-sign him. Fowler's a kid. Day's a kid. Marks has come on in the last couple weeks and been better, I thought. Not great, but better. I mean, they got a decision to make there. Scuda, he does nothing. And Devin House is gone, and Josh Johnson will be the nickel. So,
you got Aaron Colvin. Don't forget Aaron Colvin.
Yeah, Aaron Colvin, too. That's a young defense.
Got to get a pass rusher. Yeah, either Ngakoue and Fowler need to step up. I'll tell you, the guy, if he won't be there at three when we pick, but if Myles Garrett is, I pick him right away.
No doubt. Of all the players that they could have
that's
a chance
the guy
to get,
I would pick him.
That's the guy.
Like yesterday.
That's the guy. Yep. No doubt.
I might even trade up to get him if I could.
Would you? What would you give up?
I don't know. I mean, I say that. I mean, that's just me blurting out something.
It is.
I haven't even thought about what you had to give up. But I've talked to people, and everyone I've talked to said he is the real deal and will be a special pass rusher in the league. And if that's the case, go get him.
He's really good. I mean, just in the bits and pieces I've watched of him, he's really good. Now, the other defensive lineman that everybody raves about is Jonathan Allen, but he's more of a down guy.
Yeah, he's a three technique.
Yeah, he's inside.
The kid at Tennessee's not bad.
I've heard
Barnett,
good things about him as well.
The kid at Alabama worries me. He's thin. You know, he's more of an outside.
Which one, the pass rusher?
Tim Williams.
Yeah, 56.
He's explosive as heck, though, but he's thin. You know, there's decent one at Auburn. Lawson, not bad. There are some pass rushers in the draft.
Are there any
good? What you got to hope for is maybe, like, somebody wants to go to your spot and you can get extra picks and get a quarterback and you can slide down a couple.
There's no quarterbacks going that high.
You want to bet?
Who is going to go that high?
Either Kizer or Trubisky will go that high, one of them.
Well, that's one and two. So no. If you're going to trade up, you're going to go up to one or two to get a quarterback.
Myles right? Garrett is going one.
Even over the quarterbacks?
Yes.
You think so, Pete?
If I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm taking one of the quarterbacks. They could have all the Myles Garretts they want. If their quarterback is Cody Kessler or RG3, you're not winning.
We've got a lot.
I mean, now you
got
to be sold on one of the quarterbacks now, don't you? Can't yeah. You know? You can't say this guy got second round value, but we're going to take him number one overall just because you need a quarterback. But if you believe Kizer or, and I think it's going to come down to Kizer or Trubisky. I've heard too many people that I respect in the league scouts panning Watson. They don't think he's first round material, even let alone a top 10 pick. So I think it's going to come down to those two. And if you believe one of those guys, personally, I'd take Kizer. I think at Notre Dame early in the season, before that benching crap and all that, he was big, strong, athletic, could throw it. I mean, really had all the things you want in a quarterback. But that's who I would take. But Tony, you would take the pass rush over the quarterback if you're Cleveland?
Out of this quarterback group, yeah.
You got to go back and watch Trubisky and Kizer. Trubisky's concern with
me is, in fairness of what I've seen. I'm not saying I've studied it. Just from what I've seen, Trubisky's a guy who's done it for 1 year. That concerns me. I worry about these one-year guys. I mean, and so I don't know. I mean, is there – I look at where this team drafts at three, most likely. If they win, maybe
four.
Five,
it'd be four right now.
Four or maybe five if you win. There's not an offensive lineman, I've been told, that's that great.
Bad class.
You're not going to take a linebacker.
They're not going to take a running back, are they?
Let me go through this process of elimination. You're not taking is there a corner out there, another corner? Do you go to another corner, top five, and have, you know, back-to-back and two shutdown corners? Because you're not taking a linebacker. If the pass rusher's not there, I'm not taking Allen from Alabama because I just paid Malik Jackson. Probably too high to take a safety, and I don't even know if there's a stud safety out there. I mean, I guess if there's Landon Collins, the guy from the Giants who I watched this past week on Thursday night, who is fabulous. I mean,
he wasn't good last year.
He's good this year. Yeah.
Peppers, Jabril Peppers could be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Is he fast enough to play safety, Pete?
Yes.
Okay.
So he returns punts for him.
Yeah, he's all right. Good player.
So maybe there's your pick.
Plays running back too.
You're not going to take. Is there a wide receiver? Are you going to take a wide receiver at that pick?
No.
No?
The corner from Alabama might go that high.
So, I mean, so then you get all the way back to – that's what I'm saying. You get back to the running back position. I guess my argument for Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook, if they're the best player on your board and tremendously higher than any of those other guys at those other positions, you have to have a conversation about it. Or in a perfect world, what you want to do?
Or do you come back in the second round and get one?
You trade back.
Yeah.
Let's stop talking about draft. We got so many shows to talk about draft, and I don't want to do it anymore.
But we only have one more show left with Pete, by the way.
I know, but
yes, we
have Thursday nights for days that we're going to talk
for 50 weeks a year.
Yeah. So we're going to be filling a lot of time.
I hear they want me to come on Thursday nights to liven it up too.
Really? Where'd you hear that, Pete?
I'm joking.
Oh,
himself. His agent.
Hey, let's go to the phone lines. We'll get one call in before the break. 355-NFL-1 is the number. And we start out at the University of Central Florida. Dalton is on the line this evening. Dalton, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Hey, I just wanted to really reflect on what Doug Marrone had to say, just about how everyone in the organization just needs this win. You know, from just the players to the fans, man. Like, everybody was having fun. I mean, you saw the players out there, you know, you saw Marquise Lee throwing a freaking pass to Bortles. I mean, that was, you know, they were having fun. That was fun. But, yeah, I guess my main question was, you know, because I hear Pete saying that he thinks Mike Smith should be the number one guy. You know, Jaguars, they play more of a, you know, man-based coverage. Do you think that, you know, and then you know, we hear Mike Smith, he plays more of a zone-based coverage. Do you think that'll be a rough transition if that would be the case? And I'll take your comments off the air.
Thanks for the call. What do you think?
I think it's a big transition. I think it changes your personnel a little bit. I think Mike Smith is a heck of a football coach. You look what he did in Atlanta. And the in the history of that organization, the best years they ever had were under Mike Smith. Consistently. Now, they reached the Super Bowl with Dan Reeves, but I'm talking consistently year in and year out.
How much defense did they play in those years, though?
Not great defense. They were great with offense.
Right.
I think it's a transition. You got to get a new safety. And do you want your best player, who's a man corner, all of a sudden playing cover two every down?
No, but Mike's flexible. Come on, he plays more. They don't.
Well, Mike
play
is a very
two.
Good coach. Listen, he is.
They don't just
a very
play.
Good
they don't just play cover two either. I mean, if you watch the tape, Tony
quarters.
Tampa this year. Yeah, he's played a lot of quarters this year.
No, he's a very good coach. I'm not. Listen, Pete, if Mike Smith is the coach, first of all, he's a friend. I'd be ecstatic. He's great. I think he'll do a very good job.
He's also the
he just wouldn't
that?
Be.
How
he wouldn't
this?
Be number one on my list. My number one guy on my list is Tom Coughlin.
Well, I can understand where Tom – Tony, don't get me wrong. You know I have nothing but the utmost respect for Tom Coughlin. I think he's one of the all-time great coaches in this league. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer and should be a Hall of Famer. I just concerned about the long-term growth of the program. And by that, is he at 75 going to be a viable coach still? Because if not, you got to tear it up and start all over again.
You don't have to tear it up and start it over again if it's going well. There'll be somebody on that staff, if it's going well, that you could plug in as the head coach. I'm not saying a coach. I'm not saying a coach and waiting situation where you tab that
thing,
guy.
Tony.
I'm just saying. But on most good staffs, when they're successful, there's somebody who can take over.
Well, here's the other thing with him. Where's his staff come from?
Great question, and I don't have the answer to that.
Because
I mean, I know where
McAdoo,
you get an offensive lineman, offensive line coach.
You. But think about this.
Could you do Ben Jaguars McAdoo? Monday still if that were the case? It'd be great.
I don't think Tom would.
Double
like no. Tom would not allow
Could you
that.
Imagine how much we'd could you imagine? It'd be like when I covered him when he was playing, JP.
Deep throat.
Every time his line was crappy, I'd give him F grades and D grades, and he would be grumpy.
I'd be killing you. I'd come find you.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be my deep throat, just like you were
deep
when you
throat,
played.
Yes.
First of all, it's not true. It wouldn't be true then either.
It could be true.
I go over, hey, Tony, what about this guy? Tony, but think about that for a second, though. Tom's staff, Ben McAdoo and Spagnuolo were on his last Giants staff, big part of it, coordinators. They're now in New York. They're not going to go. A lot of his old Jaguar coordinators, they're retired and done. They're finished. I heard that was part of the problem in Philadelphia was when he might actually got the Eagles job, but when they did that to him when they hired McAdoo and Spagnuolo in New York, then he didn't have a staff. And, Tom, he's got to be so detail-oriented, he didn't want to go into it without the right people. So where does his staff come from?
I don't know, but I know he's respected and he could find a good staff.
Yeah, I think there'll be people lining up to coach underneath Tom Coughlin, right? I mean, a two-time Super Bowl winner doesn't come around
Look,
too often.
The guy is a Hall of Fame coach. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
And with that, if Smitty's the coach, I'll be happy. I think he'll do a great job.
He's the Here's one for you, this stat. How about this stat for all the Jaguar fans who are wondering about Smitty? He's the second fastest coach in the history of the league to get to 50 wins with his team when he takes over.
And he took over a bad situation there, too.
You know who the other one was? The fastest?
No.
George Seifert, who took over for
The 49ers,
But the difference there is Seifert took over a great situation. They were winning.
Right.
He did.
Mike Smith came into a situation that was the disaster with Michael Vick going to jail, Bobby Petrino leaving in the middle of the night, and the organization in complete disarray.
Right, which is why it's even
– Oh, he did a great job. He's a fabulous coach.
All right, guys, let's take our time out. Leo, Paul, Bill, stay on the line. We'll get to your calls when we return. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. The Irritate Vaselli Half Hour is underway. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Yeah, I've been looking for a day like this in 3 years. We always had the opportunity. We had, last couple of years had the opportunity not to win many games, but win a couple of games. But they always been close, And I always felt like, as far as this team, we always had the talent to actually get up on somebody and just try to run up the score. Tennessee is a great team, don't get me wrong. But today we just felt like we had the opportunity to make some moves and do some things. And it should be a feeling like that every week.
Marquise Lee after the game in the locker room Saturday after the Jaguars beat the Titans. Ended their playoff hopes, essentially. The Texans won somehow that night to clinch the AFC South. We'll get to all that coming up when we look around the league.
Boy, they find a way to win some games now, don't they?
Unbelievable, right? So we'll break
Give
down.
Give Bill O'Brien credit.
Yeah, he's kept them in there somehow, some way.
Defense.
That helps.
Yeah, certainly does. Let's go back to the phone lines. Leo in Fruit Cove, Tony's favorite. Leo, you're on the line. What's up?
Hey, JP and Tony and Pete, how y'all doing, man?
Good. Merry Christmas.
Great.
Hey, thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Listen, I got just a few things. I wanted to get y'all's thoughts about them when I hang up. First of all, I tell you what, Pete, Tony been killing it the last couple weeks, man. He's been spot on and with the coaching, and I'm going to say this. If Doug Marrone goes out and they thump the Colts like they did the Tennessee Titans this week, it's going to be hard not to vote for him. I said that the other day because I'm going to tell you this, like your last caller alluded to, say you bring a new staff in here, right, and they do want to change these guys up. Well, Marrone's already been here. You know, he's already been here. He's with the staff. You know, he knows what they failed doing, okay? So probably can tweak some things off season, get a whole off season with him, get some new draft picks. It's going to be hard not to vote for him. I wanted to say this. I was really excited about the win the other day, and people, oh, calm down, man. It's just third win, the 3-12. Let me explain something to you. This is a fact. The Tennessee Titans, everybody I was here asked, who's the biggest Jaguars rival? It is the Tennessee Titans. Fact, hands down. No question there. And I don't like that the guy got hurt. And everybody's been ripping my boy, Blake Bortles, all year. All you guys. Oh, he's a bust. This, that, and the other. And you, how about Derek Carr, Jaromir Mariota? Look at him. We broke his fibula. Look at Derek Carr. Wow. Something to be said about Blake. Something to be said
Stop
about Blake
it.
Bortles and his toughness. Something to be said
Stop
about his
it.
Toughness. Dude, he's taking a lot of hits. Dude's been under
awful.
Duress a lot.
He's like
so it's as bad
awful.
As Tony earlier to Pete.
So it's, like, it's almost like North Dallas 40 here.
Yeah, that's awful.
I got no comment.
Wow.
No, you don't ever want to see – I don't care who it is. You don't want to see anybody get hurt. Come on. That was terrible.
Well, I agree with you 99.9% of the time, Pete, unless it's you.
You want to see me get hurt?
No, I mean, I think sometimes –
Don't make. I'm telling you, don't make me put a baseball bat to those titanium hips
yes,
of yours.
Yes, do it. Yes.
Hey, Tony.
You know I'm joking.
What was the – and I'm joking, too. What was the – What was he talking about? You've been spot on about the coaches. What is he talking about?
I don't know. Everyone else thinks I'm an idiot.
Tony claimed credit, though. I don't know what for, but he did.
He did.
I'll take it.
In an instant. Let's go up to beautiful Hilliard and say good evening to Paul. You're on the air, Paul. What's up? Hello, Paul. You're on the air. Paul, you're
right.
Hey, you're on the air. What's up, man?
Hey.
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 All right, Paul, you're out of here. Sorry.
You waited all that time, and then you booted him like that, huh?
Yeah. Well, hey.
Oh, I didn't. JP did.
Yeah, he gone. Bill on the south side. Bill, you're up. What's up, man? Bill, you're on the
this
air.
This is a struggle right now.
Bill, are you there? Everybody's – this is a Christmas hangover.
It's tough. A little too much eggnog last night.
Goodness.
Well, who actually drinks eggnog, by the way?
Tony does.
I do. I like eggnog.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
What is it anyway?
I don't know, but it's tasty.
Here, let's look it up. It's probably not
does
on the DPSPSC program, though. I'll
I'm
tell
sure
you
it has eggs in it. Eggnog. Let me look it
up. Oh, you're looking it up? Okay,
yeah.
I got you. Yeah, I didn't have any this year. No eggnog.
You like eggnog?
I don't mind it. Yeah, sure.
Does it got booze in it?
If you want it,
it can.
To, sure. What, bourbon? Is that what you put in it, or is it rum?
I don't know. Whatever. Someone makes it for me.
What's it taste like? A vanilla milkshake or something?
Yeah, it's kind of frothy.
I'll read you. It's rich, chilled, sweetened, creamy, dairy-based beverage made with milk, cream, sugar, whipped eggs, and some. And it has brandy, rum, or bourbon added to it.
So it tastes like a milkshake then?
Yeah, I guess.
Not quite as thick as a milkshake.
No, it's not.
Almost milk, like. Not quite as thin as milk, in between the two, I guess.
So you can have, like, one before it just sits in your stomach like a lead weight balloon.
Yeah, you don't want to drink too many of them. It's not like drinking a sports drink where you're trying to, you know,
How many calories in a glass of that eggnog?
Oh, I bet you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say here.
Mm. Might want to find that out before you start doing some more commercials. While you're looking it up, let's go back to the phone line and try again. This time, Savannah Jag in Savannah, Georgia is on the line. Good evening. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
All right. I just wanted to
I was kind of concurring with Tony Boselli. Was talking about Doug Marrone. And I was thinking that if he had another convincing win, you know, could he be a real candidate for the next
head coach? Oh, my God, you guys, with that. if they wanted him to be the head coach, they would have fired Gus 7 weeks, 8 weeks ago, made him the interim coach to find out what he could do, and if he won, he was going to get the job. A win this week in Indianapolis does nothing at all to solidify his chances.
I agree with that, Pete. I mean, I said that a lot. I don't think it has anything to do with this week. I think he's a real candidate, but I don't think winning against, you know, in blowout fashion against the Colts makes him more of a candidate.
I think he's the courtesy candidate.
I just want to say that I wasn't really a big fan of blowing it up, as Pete Prisco said, that was a necessary thing, because I don't want to really start a whole new regime, because what if that put us a setback where we have to start over again, even though I know that because of the players that we have, it makes it more attractive. But still, you know, to start all over again, I don't want to really go through all of that. Because
you're not starting all over again. You're starting all over again with a coach and a staff. Not that, you know, the foundation is there. I mean, it's not like when they took over the last time. The players are young now, and there's talent there. So you're not starting all over again.
Hey, Pete, does what New York did by basically keeping the exact staff in place and just getting rid of Tom and keeping Ben McAdoo defense coordinator, I mean, a lot of the same staff stayed, and it turned into continuity, and they had success. Does that mean anything?
Because they spent money on defense when Tom was there. They didn't spend any money.
Yeah, you and I both know that. I mean, I will argue to the end that if they'd have spent the $200 million and kept Tom as the coach, they'd have the same record.
Maybe even better.
Yeah.
Maybe even better.
Hey, one thought about the last call there, kind of a different way to think about it. The quarterback play Saturday, if he comes out and plays well again, the defense plays well on the other side, it's a complete game. Does that increase interest from other candidates in the job?
I think serious candidates will look at the entire year more than just 2 weeks.
Okay.
But it's a good job.
Was it a bad job before the last 2 weeks, if they happened like that?
No.
Okay.
No, and here's why. You got an owner committed to the franchise. You have an owner who spends money. You have an owner who allows its people to do their job without a lot of meddling. You also have a facility that's been upgraded, still not the greatest in the world. They still need their own facility. I don't care what they say. They need their own practice facility, and that will get built at some point. But you also have no state income tax, and you have a young roster in place, particularly on defense, and you have some talent on offense with Marquise Lee. And I think Allen Robinson showed yesterday, when not lining up in one spot all the time, he can still be an effective go-to receiver. So there's talent there. The question is, it's a small market. We know that. Tony knows that when he played. How many guys got, you know, shunned for the Pro Bowl and stuff like that because of the small market? It's always looked down, and, you know, people look down their nose at the city. It's the same everywhere we go. I live in Jacksonville. Why do you live there? Because I like it. I like living there. You know, I have to say that. And so you got to fight that all the time. But you know what? Before Seattle, this latest little grouping of Seattle winning and being dominant and powerful and personalities and quarterback and Richard Sherman and nasty defense and everything, nobody paid attention to Seattle, right? Nobody. If you win, they pay attention. So that stuff will all come. It'll eventually come. But I think it's a great job, and I think that, you know, think about it. If you take the job in Jacksonville, you have a year to decide if Bortles is your guy. If you take the job with the Rams, you have 3 years. You're stuck with Jared Goff, whether you like it or not. That makes that job a whole different. Now, L.A. is L.A. Don't get me wrong, Tony. L.A., you went to school there. You know it. Glitz and glamour and all that, it's L.A. But you're stuck with that quarterback for 3 years no matter what.
Pete, when we come back, because I think we got to go to break here. Am I correct there?
Whatever you say, Tony.
I want to talk about, does it hurt or does it concern you at all? Because it does me. Of with the change, let's say everything is blown up and a whole new staff, everything comes in, which is most likely. Does it worry you, Blake Bortles having four offensive coordinators in 4 years?
Yeah, that is concerning.
Me too.
That is very concerning, because you saw that with Tannehill in Miami. But Tannehill now had his best year when Gase came in and made it, you know, and worked with him and developed him and was a good coordinator and a good coach with him. You know, if the guy's good enough, he'll handle it. If he's, you know, and that's the question with Blake. Is he good enough? It's always tough when you know, I talked to a lot of quarterbacks about new systems, and I work with Brady Quinn now, and he says how tough that is to change all the time, and it impacts the quarterback. But if you get the right guy in the right system and the right teaching and coaching, I think that's not going to be as big an issue as you think it will be.
Hey, how many coordinators did Alex Smith have? Different bird, I get it, but he had a lot early,
bunch.
I know that.
Yeah, a bunch. I have no idea the exact number.
Well, Tannehill has had four, I think, in his 5 years, I think, or whatever. He had, you know, he had different systems in each of the 4 to 5 years. Remember, they brought in, they fired guys, they brought in the Philly offensive guy, and he was a disaster. So he's had a bunch. And that Gase told me, he actually told me, he said, that was tough on the kid it's hard to overcome that. But the right kid will overcome it. The question is Bortles the right kid?
We'll come back with a look around the National Football League. Playoff picture is getting more in focus by the day. Thanks for the calls tonight on the Irritate Baselli Half Hour. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
And it continues with a look around the National Football League in Week 16. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. We start off in the AFC South. The Houston Texans are the AFC South champions. They beat the Bengals 12-10 on a missed field goal by Cincinnati at the end. The Colts fell to the Raiders 33-25. The Titans fell to the Jaguars 38-27. So power rankings are inconsequential, of course, because the division is done. But the Houston Texans, with Tom Savage as the quarterback, are going to the postseason, guys. How
that
far do they get?
Absolutely one and done. Well, I mean, there's a chance they could still play Miami. And if they play Miami, it might end up being Tom Savage versus Matt Moore in the first round.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
What?
And so, are they good? They're good on defense. They're not very good on offense. You guys know that. You've seen them a couple times. Savage was awful the first half, was better in the second half. But I can't see them. I mean, if the Chiefs go there, do you see them beat the Chiefs? I don't. And they got blown out by the Chiefs last year.
No. I don't see them beating the Dolphins, Pete.
No?
No.
Okay.
By the way,
the Bengals are – how long was the field goal that was missed?
It wasn't that long. It was in the 40s, I think. Right, Pete?
It was longer than that. I thought it was a little bit
– I know. He hesitated 40. Before the snap, and that kind of –
yeah, it was like 47 or something.
Yeah. He kind of hesitated before the snap, thought it was coming earlier,
yeah,
and then pushed it.
And then the snap came. He started before. No, he didn't hesitate. He started.
Yeah.
Then stopped.
Mm. Well, either way, they're the champs. By the way, Pete, on your Monday musings this morning, here are the AFC quarterbacks probable.
43-yard field goal, by the way.
43, there you go. Probable AFC quarterbacks in the postseason. Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt McGloin for the Raiders, Tom Savage for the Texans, Alex Smith for the Chiefs, and Matt Moore for the Dolphins.
It's putrid.
It's only
the
one.
Patriots have a waltz.
Not a waltz. They got Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh plays.
Yeah, and read the historic stat on that.
No,
JP,
I know. They always
steal.
They always get killed by the Patriots.
I mean, I think Tom Brady, what did I say? He had 27 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions in his games against them.
It's pretty good.
I actually think the Chiefs have the best chance of beating the Patriots, and I don't give it a great.
I don't.
Well, only because of the pass rush, Pete.
You know. This league is so knee-jerk reactionary now. I'm not saying you are, Tony, but you know how this is. Everybody watched the Chiefs last night beat up on the Broncos.
Well, that's not why I said so, no.
No, but last week, the same Titans team that was blown out in Jacksonville went to Kansas City and beat them. Remember, let's not forget, a couple weeks before that, Tampa Bay went there and beat them. So, you know, Kansas City's good, but people got to slow.
They're not great. I just think with that pass rush, and the only way you're beating the Patriots is if you get to Tom Brady early. And the Kansas City Chiefs are the only team that in the AFC that can do that right now. I mean, I'm with you. I think the Patriots are walking in to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Chiefs aren't winning a shootout with the Patriots.
No.
No chance.
No. The Patriots have the best scoring defense in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. They're the number one in the league in scoring defense. Now, they haven't played very many good offenses, only two top ten, and one of them was in Arizona in week one. So they haven't played very many good offenses. And remember, they played the Steelers without Roethlisberger. Yeah. So
it's going to be the Patriots versus the Cowboys, the Packers, or the Seahawks.
And don't sleep on the Falcons.
Okay.
Well, Tony, they're going to have the two seed.
Who do they play this week? Who do they play this week?
New Orleans at home.
All right.
So they get the two seed. That means they got to win one game and then a championship game. And the way they score points, you can look there and say, okay, well they don't have a pass. Well, they do have a pass rusher. They have one guy. They have that guy. They can go sack, fumble, game over in the fourth quarter. So Vic Beasley. So they do have that.
It's probably going to be the. The way the playoffs – so it's going to be the Cowboys and the Falcons with the bye. The
Correct.
Seahawks will be the 3 seed.
Correct.
The Packers will be the 4 seed.
Correct.
The Giants will be the 5 seed.
And then the Lions will be – could be the 6, depending on what happens with the – if the Redskins win their last game.
Okay,
let's say
Redskins or Lions.
Or Lions.
So that you're going to get Seahawks, Redskins, Lions. The Seahawks will win that. And you're going to get the Packers,
Giants,
Packers.
We've seen how that's played out in the past.
But I think the Packers will win that.
I do too.
And then you're going to get Packers, Cowboys, Atlanta, Seattle.
Right. And Atlanta played with Seattle when they went to Seattle and almost beat. Remember, they should have beaten them that day. I'm telling you, that Seattle team, something's aside from the offensive line.
They gave up 34 points.
The defense wasn't very good the other day.
No. Yeah, you might be right, Pete. Maybe it is maybe the Falcons have a chance.
How about the Vikings secondary went against the game plan in covering Jordy Nelson? Zimmer wanted to shadow Nelson with Xavier Rhodes. The Vikings instead stayed on their sides against the coach's will.
I would have brought him onto the sideline and sat his butt down, and he wouldn't have played another snap.
And if you're Xavier Rhodes and you want to be a shutdown corner, don't you welcome that?
It wasn't him. It was Terrence Newman.
Well, then, but if you're Xavier Rhodes, you tell Terrence Newman, move. I'm playing this guy.
Right, right. It's just that's a bad look for Zimmer. And Zimmer's a tough guy, and I don't know what maybe his eye situation, things have changed there, but I can't imagine him tolerating that in the past. The Zimmer I know wouldn't tolerate that
Is Zimmer in trouble, Pete?
No.
Has he lost the locker room?
No, I don't think so.
Well, he lost his coaching staff. Norv Turner went and quit.
Sounds like he lost the secondary, too.
I think he lost Norv Turner because he wanted to play one way and Norv Turner wanted to play another way, and he wasn't going to do it.
It's been a heck of a year in Minneapolis with all that's going on there, the injuries and the
How many coaches would have survived what happened in Minneapolis? Anyways, you lost your quarterback.
No, I agree with that. I wouldn't get rid of Zimmer. I'm just asking. You know how this? You talk about knee jerk reaction in this league. I mean,
yeah,
people panic.
I mean, five weeks in, everybody's raving him as the greatest coach in the history.
I think
of the world,
he's a good
right?
coach.
I do too.
How many coaches are getting fired on Monday, Pete? We already have two gone.
I bet a guy down here, one of the guys down here, I said, there's no way Pagano's getting fired after getting a 4-year extension. I can't imagine Jimmy Ursay is going to eat that money. Okay.
Tell me who else is getting fired. You had two gone already.
McCoy going to get fired.
Okay, that's three.
Boy, Rex.
Four.
How about Peyton in New Orleans? Is he in trouble?
No, they own
he's not
going to
get fired.
They own like $50 million.
Same thing, okay.
Yeah.
Is Chip Kelly in trouble?
Balky will go. He'll stay. The GM goes. He stays.
But the Jets?
No.
Although, the way they've played, you could make a case for it. I mean, 2 years after going 10-6 in your first year, that's a harsh firing if that came to that.
Is it only going to be four jobs open? That would be the least amount of jobs open in a long time.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember there were a bunch last year, and they've all got 1-year deals, 1-year guys now, so they're not going to get rid of them. I mean, that's it. You thought Tennessee might be open because the idea there was Mularkey would get the job, and the new GM would come in after. Because remember, he inherited him, and then get his own guy in there. But You can't fire Mularkey now.
No.
I don't think. So
I just don't see. I'm with you, Pete. I don't think they fire Chuck Pagano.
I don't. Here's
first of all,
thing.
I don't think he deserves it. Look at the roster he's dealing with.
Right. But somebody in the league told me this the other day, too. You know, with the TV ratings going down a little bit, there's some concern about money and da-da-da-da-da. It's just hard to eat his contract, his coordinators' contracts, his staff's contracts, and then hire new ones and pay that same exact money to get them in. You're talking about a ton of money.
And not only that, if you eat all that, if you fire Chuck, you're firing Grigson, too. You're cleaning house completely, and you're eating his
contract
as well.
Right, and after a year after giving him four-year extensions, you can't – I can't imagine him firing him.
I don't think financially they can do it.
No.
How about Fox in Chicago? How long has he got left?
No, he'll be back. He'll get another year.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, when you fire guys like Fox and Bowles, I mean, that's the concern with Bowles. The team goes south on you, and the Jets have clearly gone south. I mean, that's a disaster. They quit. They're fighting with each other. It's bad. So that I don't think he's going to get it, but that if, of all the jobs that are possibilities, that would be the one where I would.
So maybe four for sure, maybe five. Like Rex is gone for sure, right?
Yes, yes. But then you also have the possibility of, you know, what is Kubiak going to do with his health? You know, and then there was some talk about Bruce Arians and his health. I mean, those are possibilities too. But I think they'll both come back. You know, how coaches are they just kick their health to the curb and keep coaching.
Yeah, it's the last thing they think about.
Right.
Remember the year Mike Mularkey was here? He had a little thing he had to go in, like a scare during the season, right? Remember that?
I don't remember
that. I mean, it happens from time to time.
Yeah, they don't pay attention to that. Hey, I want to ask you guys one quick thing.
Go ahead.
Did the touchdown with Dontari Poe bother you last night? Bothered me.
I thought it was awesome. What are you talking about?
I was sleeping.
Of course you were.
It was great.
I didn't like it.
Well, they rubbed their nose in a little bit. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but that's what I didn't like about it.
I like it. Division game.
Yeah,
rub it
in. You know what? Guess what? Defending champs, you're not in the playoffs. We are.
And guess what? This is the NFL, not college football. Stop us if you don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's the old tired, stop us if you don't like it.
What?
You know, in the old days, you know what they would have done, Tony? They would have called the play where one of the receivers went to the sideline and rolled Andy Reid's legs.
They did.
Come on, that was Bush League. You don't do that in that situation.
I thought it was great. Entertainment. Yeah. It's entertainment.
We're already up 17. Let's go up 24. How about that?
The only reason Tony's saying that is just to disagree with me. I know it. I know who. I know you. I know you don't think that.
Yeah, if you're an O-lineman for the Broncos there, how would you have taken that?
As honestly, as a player, I'd be like, whatever. Let's just, I mean, it's over. Just we're going home. Here, just get out of here. Let's get on the plane.
Would you have been angry that your coach called timeout with 6 seconds left in the game, too?
Yes, I'd have been upset about that.
That was dumb. You want to hear? Talk about dumb. He calls timeout with 6 seconds left in the game, runs one last play. Simeon throws an interception, but what's even worse is Eric Berry picked it off, and he was trying to return it and running around like he got hit. He got tackled.
Down.
Yeah, I would have been upset if we called timeout down three scores with 6 seconds left.
So running that play 27-10 with under 2 minutes left in the game doesn't bother you. You're
not
a
really.
Liar. You are lying. You are lying. I know you. You're too much of a competitor not to get insulted by that.
I'll give you this.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll give you this, Pete. He threw it better than Tebow did in college.
That's what I said. He read the field better.
That's terrible. Right. Terrible.
Monday Night Football. Matthew Stafford of the playoff hopeful Detroit Lions meet Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys, who have everything wrapped up in the NFC. The Lions have a division showdown next week to determine the NFC North, no matter the outcome tonight. Who you got tonight?
How do they play it? How do they play it? That's what we don't know. How's Dallas going
to
play?
Oh, I think Dallas has to come out and play it full speed like it's a normal game. You're too young to dial it back. Basically, if you dial it back tonight, that's 3 weeks. You're not going to – I mean, it's just too long. 3 weeks of football, it's really a month before you go back out there live. Young players, young team, you tell them, listen, we're trying to win everything. Let's go.
So who wins?
I'm going to go with Dallas. I picked Detroit in our Thursday night stuff to be the contrarian, but I think Dallas probably wins.
So you're picking both sides of the fence.
Well, part of me want I want Dallas to win because I want the Redskins in it. Because my boy's in Washington, so I'll be rooting.
Joe Barry.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for Dallas, but Wouldn't surprise me if Detroit comes out and wins. I mean, I picked them because, I mean, they're playing for a guaranteed playoff spot tonight.
Who you got, Pete?
I'll take the Cowboys. Look, the Lions know that if they win next week, they're in anyways. They get in if they win, so there's something there. But I don't know. I think the Cowboys will find a way tonight.
How about this earlier tweet from Andrew Siciliano? If Dallas wins tonight, Detroit and Green Bay would both make it if they tie next week in game 256.
Play for the tie,
How
boys.
How about that? Let's wait a week for that one. Pete, enjoy your show tonight, and Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you, fellas. Talk to you next week.
See you, Pete.
Pete Briscoe, CBS Sports senior writer, with us. The wrap-up segment coming up. Vaselli Shadrick will take it home. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final few minutes of Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli. Pete Prisco's out of here. Glad you've joined us tonight on 1010XL, Jaguars.com, and the Jaguars app, recapping the Jaguars' win in Week 16. One final note about that ball game. We mentioned Marcus Mariota with a broken fibula. He'll have surgery, according to the Titans, Wednesday on that broken fibula. Recovery period 4 to 5 months
Ooh.
For the Titans quarterback.
It means he has to put some screws in there or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. Derek Carr, I'm sure, is in a similar situation. That will require surgery as well. Jack Del Rio said after the game for the Raiders in their win. And, yeah, that changes the playoff picture a bit in the AFC with Carr out of there now. How do the Raiders play down the stretch? Big question there. So, the Jaguars moving forward. Indianapolis Colts, New Year's Day, Lucas Oil Stadium, a 1 o'clock kickoff. It'll be a raucous night, I'm sure, in downtown Indianapolis on New Year's Eve. There are thousands expected downtown with all the festivities going on there.
Joe, most importantly, where are we going out then, New Year's Eve?
Yeah, right.
I just heard thousands of people, raucous, party. Are we hitting the town?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to get in anywhere.
Well, I mean, not with you and I.
Do they know who's sitting here? I mean, it's the Cotton Bowl Hall of Famer, Tony Vaselli.
Can I make reservations under your name?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, I'm Tony Vaselli.
Should we go clubbing afterwards?
Ooh, I feel important.
A little clubbing afterwards?
Tony Vaselli. I played a half of the Cotton Bowl. I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Let's just not sleep.
Late night club? Be great.
Yeah, that's us.
That's what we usually do on the road, hit it hard.
Sounds like a plan you guys have.
A little St. Elmo's?
St. Elmo's.
We tried to
get reservations today. I don't think we're getting
in there. Yeah,
Harry and Izzy's?
I don't think we're getting in there either.
Steak and Shake?
We can possibly go there. We can show up to Harry and Izzy's and go try
I'm
to
sorry, sit. Whataburger.
We can go try to sit at the bar.
I've done that.
I know. That's sometimes the best way to do it. You just it's go a find, nice, find a nice couple. Bar. Yeah, nice bar. And find they serve a full menu there. Find a couple chairs. So I don't know what we'll be doing.
Take pictures of the food and send it back to JP.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Well, JP still owes us a steak dinner. Him and Logs have been backing out.
No.
It's been the whole season.
Yeah,
I've been on the whole time.
It's disappointing.
You sleazes have backed out.
No, there's only one person who's backed out.
Logs.
His name is Jeff Logman.
Yeah, that's true.
You sleazes.
Yeah, I said it.
I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know either.
Sleazes.
It's the first word that came to mind. I don't know why.
That's the first time I've ever been called a sleazes or a sleaze. Of course. Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
This is what 3-12 sounds like.
We'll take it personal, yes. So
coming off a victory, though, Joe.
Yeah, Jags coming off a win, going to Indy. They're eliminated. They replicate what they did this past week, the Jaguars. Is it possible?
Absolutely. Why not? This team you're playing in Indy is not as good as the one you just beat. They have a better quarterback, better receiver, but they don't run the ball as well. Their offensive line's not as good. Their defense isn't as good up front. They probably have better secondary. So absolutely you can. You already beat him once. Beat him in London.
That's true. On a nice skating run by Alan Hearns.
What was the final score of that game?
Let's see here. It was 30-27.
So?
Alan Hearns had the fourth quarter touchdown, remember? Went like 40-something
yards.
Only
two times we've scored 30 points this year, this past weekend, and then against the Colts.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely, I think you can. I mean, I would. Frankly, as much nonsense as it probably sounds to some people at 3-12, I expect them to. Because there's no reason not to. And I think it's important for Blake and this offense to come out and put back-to-back efforts like that.
Do you want to go out and make a final lock?
I told you, and I'm going to stand by it.
Just making sure. After you might have changed your tune.
After the double lock with Joe, when he messed it up for everybody, I actually, that was the start of the 9-game losing streak, so I put it on Joe. I'm going to stay away from the lock, but I think we win.
So you're not confident enough to lock it?
Can't lock it. Can't lock until 2017. The locks will come back in 17.
Oh, will they?
In fact, right now, I'm going to lock the opener.
I don't even know who we're playing in the opener.
Doesn't matter. Lock
it. The New England Patriots.
Lock. I don't think they can be on our schedule.
I know, but if they were, you're right.
Well, they're not. That's why I can lock it.
Defending AFC South champion Texans.
Please.
All day.
We'll put it. I mean, they want no piece of us. None.
They've already had the piece of us twice.
Yeah, that's why they don't want any more of it.
What are you talking about?
They're done.
They got two of them. Got it twice.
JP, focus on the positives. Oh, okay. We just won a ball game.
We did. That's what I'm saying. You won't lock next week.
I'm not locking
it's
a game.
It's easy. Do you want to end
I told
the
you
win?
That. I'm locking the opener. I guarantee we win the opener in 2017.
There's a Senior Bowl. There's the draft.
Well, we're not
there's
in the
combine.
Senior Bowl
there's all this stuff going on.
We're not
before
in the
next
Bowl.
Season. You know this, right?
Well, I don't. None of that matters. All
coaching
that matters
hire.
Is the opener. We're locking the opener.
That's great.
Merry Christmas to all, and Happy New Year's as well, JP.
We'll talk to you Thursday.
I guess I'll see you before New Year's. But Happy New Year's. Anyway.
See ya. For Tony Maselli, Pete Prisco, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato. This is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.